Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, good morning and Happy New Year. I hope you had a fantastic holiday season. Some of you still might be enjoying that holiday season, some of our college students. But I want to just say this morning, as we're beginning a series called Living in Your Dash, I'm expecting God to do greater things for each and every one of us and us as a church than he ever has before in this year 2016. I'd like you to open your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And something common that many people do over the New Year's is they make resolutions. How many of you have made some New Year's resolutions? A few of you have. I made a resolution, and that was to not make any resolutions. But the reason people make resolutions is because we want to improve our lives. We want to make our lives better. And the goal of our series this morning is that we want this series over the next few weeks, as we talk about living in our dash. You see that little line on the tombstone, just a couple inches long, symbolizes your entire existence on planet Earth. And how do we make our dash the most that it can be? And we want to help you improve your life, not just in the here and now, but in the afterlife, after you die. Now, for those of you, this is your first time here at Casper Faith, or maybe it's your first time in a church of any kind, we want you to know we're so glad you're with us. We welcome you here. And our prayer is that this morning, you know, maybe you haven't thought a whole lot about life after death. You haven't thought about eternity. And our prayer is that by the time we're finished this morning, you'd maybe seriously consider eternity and what's going to happen after death in your own life, in your future, and we pray that you would come to know God's plan for your life. Now, we're going to take a look in James chapter 4, and James is the brother of Jesus, and he wrote these words to Christians who were not necessarily living for eternity. They were kind of living for the here and now. Let's pick it up in verse 13. James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." James was saying, your life is a very brief, temporary thing. He talks about in that verse about your life is like a vapor. It's like a mist. Now, I had a hard time finding a coffee container that would keep the mist from the time service began till now, but smoke is a lot the same. Smoke is a lot like a vapor. You blow out a candle, and you can see the smoke a little bit, but now it's gone. You can't see it. It's here and it's gone. And that is what James is getting at. Your life is not long. And so many times we can get so wrapped up in life and think our life is such a big deal. But you have to realize the 60, 70, 80 years you spend on planet Earth is just a dash when it comes to all of eternity. And this dash, this short period of time, is a mist, it's a vapor. And this theme is in many places throughout Scripture. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 15, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, "We are here for only a moment. We are visitors and strangers in a land as our ancestors were before us." You know, this past week, we went to our families back in Iowa and South Dakota. We were visitors. We were guests. We traveled very light. When you're a visitor, it's not like you pack the kitchen sink and the refrigerator and, you know, your furniture. When you're a guest at someone's house, when you're a visitor, it's very lightly because you know you're not staying long. And that's the theme that Scripture tells us. We are just passing through earth. Our dash is not this big, long time like we think. And yet we want to hunker down, we settle down, and we place all of our importance, all of our priorities, all of our time, our talent, and treasure on things that apply to this life and not the life after. And instead of treating our time on earth as visitors, we treat it as being settlers. And we don't live for eternity, we live for the here and now. And it goes on to say in Chronicles, our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. You know, when you see a shadow in the sun, two things about the shadow. It's temporary and it's transitory. It changes, and that's how our life is. Our life is going to be here just for a brief time, temporary, and then it's going to change to eternity. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach me to number my days. Teach me to make them count. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in the city of Colossae this in chapter 4, verse 5 of Colossians. He says, redeem the time, or make the most of every opportunity. There once was a guy who was walking through a cemetery, and he came across the headstone, and the person who died, his name was Pease. P-E-A-S-E. And this was the inscription on the tombstone. It says, here lies Pease, but only the pod, because Pease was shelled out and went home to God. Someday, all of us are going to be shelled out of our body and going to go stand before God and give an account of how we lived our dash. We're going to give an account of how we lived our life. And the thing is, you only have one shot at living your life. You don't get two like Shirley MacLaine thinks. Okay? This is not a dress rehearsal. If it doesn't go right, you can't start all over again and get it right the second time. You and I have one shot, one chance to live our dash. And what we're going to do the next few weeks is we're going to talk about how do we make our dash count. If I said to you this morning, I am going to give you 26,280 billion dollars a year, okay? If I said I was going to give you that this year, tax-free to live on, you would have $72 billion a day to live on. How many could handle 72 billion? Not million. How could you handle 72 billion a day? Some of our college students are saying, oh man, my loan's paid off, you know. You'd be set. $72 billion a day. You probably wouldn't worry if you go out to lunch to Wendy's today, you know, should I biggie size my fries? Or should I get pop instead of water, you know? You probably wouldn't even keep receipts if you made $72 billion a day. You wouldn't have to keep track of it. But what would happen if I said all you get for this year is $26,280 for the year? That translates to $72 a day. $72 a day. What would you do if you only had $72 a day to live? You would budget. You'd try to squeeze the most out of it. And here's the thing. Most of us, we may have, if we're lucky, 26,280 days. Because that translates to 72 years. We don't have 26,280 billion days to live our life. You just have 26,280. You have 72 years. Your life is a vapor. Your life is a mist. Your life is a dash. It is short. It is brief. And if you're taking notes this morning, write this out. Take your notes out of your bulletin today, life is short. It's a dash. And it is not to be lived for ourselves. those people James is writing to. He says, you go to a city, you make your own plans outside of God, you do what you want to do, and you think I'm in charge. He says, you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what lays ahead in the future. He says, you need to say, if God wills, what is God's will for my life? We want to be people that make our life count and live with eternity in mind. So we're going to talk about that. The next few weeks, we're going to take the letters dash, D-A-S-H, and we're going to give you key words from those letters on how you and I can live our dash most effectively. Now, what we're going to do this morning is I want to just make a few observations about the dash we live in. If you're taking notes today, how do you make your dash count? Here's observation number one, and it is live in your dash. Live in your dash. Don't just exist in it, and don't race through it. There's many people, they just exist. They trudge through life. They endure their dash. They don't enjoy their dash. They're not living in their dash. Their dash is a drudgery. And God doesn't want us to just exist in our dash. There once was a gentleman who went to a fortune teller at a carnival, and he walked into her tent to have his palm read. He paid the money, sat down in the chair, and she said, oh, I see many things. And excitedly he says, what do you see? And she says, you will be poor and unhappy until you are 45. And dejectedly he said, oh. But then he got an idea. He says, well, what happens at age 45? And she says, you will get used to it. And there are many people that are used to existing, used to trudging, used to enduring their dash. And Jesus is life. He promised life. John the disciple said this. He recorded the words of Jesus in John 10:10. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The NIV says, have it to the full. That word abundantly, it means overflowing. Your life, your abundant life, is not a cup that is half full or half empty. It's not even a cup that is full. Abundant life means it's overflowing. It's like you stick it underneath a faucet and life overflows. And Jesus said, I want you to have the kind of life that is an overflowing, full, abundant life on a continuous basis. There's some people that say, well, man, I was really living. I felt alive, you know, maybe when I got my first bull elk. Yeah. Or when I made that winning shot in the game. Or when I carried the ball across the goal line. You know, someone said, we're having a funeral for the Denver Broncos playoff hopes. No, he actually said the Dallas Cowboys. You know what? I gave up on that a long time ago. But some people say, I felt alive when I was playing sports or when I bought this car or when I went to this weekend in Hawaii. But here's the thing. After the moment or a few hours or day or the weekend is done, it wears off and they're back to just existing. And Jesus says, I came to give you life on a continual basis that's constantly overflowing. Now, that doesn't mean we'll have no problems. That doesn't mean, oh, yeah, yippee, skippy, everything's fine and dandy. But it means that Christ's presence is there with us, and he gives joy because joy is not a feeling. Joy is a deep down assurance that God is in control. So that if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you know God's in control and you can still have joy because God hasn't changed. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. The kind of experience you've had with God when you've been on the mountaintop, God hasn't changed when you're down in the valley. He is consistent. He wants you to have life, to have life with him. Jesus said, I came so you could really live. John wrote in his gospel also in chapter 1, verse 4, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. When you have the life of Jesus, it brings light to your darkness. There are some people here today, you are living in yesterday's darkness of defeat. Maybe there's something you did, an unwise decision, and it haunts you. Maybe there's a sin you committed, and it plagues you, and you live under condemnation. You feel horrible. You feel bad. You feel you've ruined your life. There's some of you here this morning, you've been hurt in the past. You're going through pain, and it's just constantly there. But when you have the life of Jesus in you, his life chases that darkness of defeat away from you. Some of you this morning, you're living in the darkness of tomorrow's dread. Your life is filled with fear. It's filled with the unknown. You look at a horrible situation, a bad financial situation, a horrible relationship, lots of stress, things, responsibilities. You don't know how you're going to handle it, and you dread tomorrow morning. You dread going back to the job. You dread going back home from Christmas. You dread whatever it is, and you live in this darkness of your life. And Jesus said, I came for you to have life, to have it to the full, and I am the light. I will chase your darkness away. Jesus wants you to have life. We need to begin to live in the life of Jesus. Paul said to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears. Do you know Jesus is your life? Jesus gives meaning. Golf is not your life. Bowling and hunting and fishing is not your life. Your career is not your life. Your education is not your life. Partying and drinking is not your life. Money is not your life. Jesus is life. If you're trying to find fullness of life outside of Christ, you're going to be empty. You're going to be in darkness. But the life of Jesus brings light and hope and deliverance and victory. Do you have his life? Some of us, we say, you know what? I'm going to wait till I get older. Then I'll serve God. Or I'm going to wait until I clean up the mess of my life. Then I'll get right with God. I got to clean things up first. Some people say, I'm going to wait until I'm more spiritual. Then I'll start to witness. I'm going to wait till I'm richer. Then I'll start to tithe. I'm going to wait till I have more time. Then I'll use my gifts and abilities in ministry. And we are not living the way Jesus intends us to live. We're just making excuses. We need to begin living in our dash right now. Have you ever seen someone on a respirator? I remember when I was pastoring in Iowa, there was a gentleman in our church, and he basically passed away. And he was alive because he was on respiratory, and they just had him on the respirator, keeping alive until his family came. And then when the family was all there, they pulled the plug, and he died. And there are many Christians today, they're living on a respirator. They're plugged into a little bit of church, or they're plugged into their spouse and they're relying on their spouse or other Christian friends to feed them life, to keep them alive, but they're not plugged into Jesus themselves. They're not intimately connected and they're just existing. They're on a respirator. My question is, what are you hooked up to this morning? We are starting today our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I want to encourage you, take your notes here and open them up on the inside. We give you some instructions about prayer and fasting. We give a brief description of what fasting is. Basically, fasting is giving up a physical need, a physical desire, and putting the spiritual as a priority. You give up lunch and what you would normally spend the time eating and satisfying your physical body, you'd say, I'm going to spend that time praying, feeding my spiritual body. And I'm making the spiritual more important than the physical. And we give you lots of different examples of how you can fast in there. We're not going to take the time to go through this. I encourage you to read through this and begin to say, if you haven't thought about what you're going to be praying and fasting for the next 21 days, Start today. Get alone with God and just say, Lord, what are some things that I want to see take place in my life? What do you want to do in my dash in 2016? And just have an open heart and begin to pray and seek God. Take these next 21 days and get closer to God. And I encourage you, this Wednesday night, we're having a special prayer service for all of our teens and our adults. We're going to be here at 7 o'clock. We've got worship. We've got some powerful testimonies. And we're going to pray. We're going to help you pray. You say, I don't know how to pray. We're going to show you how to pray, teach you how to pray. We're going to have some things that you can take with you and just develop a prayer life over these next 21 days. We're going to do that this Wednesday, where there's no 12-12 prayer because of it this Wednesday, but this Wednesday, 7 o'clock, join us for that time of prayer. But purpose today saying, God, I want to start connecting with you on a deeper level. I'm going to take these first 21 days of the new year, and I am going to connect with you because I want a greater life, a greater dash than I've ever had before.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.